Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vootcast episode number 104. I'm your host, James, and I apologize in advance because I have really bad laryngitis, but I still, you know, wanted to host, so...
Whatever. Persevering to bring it to you.
Yes, and today I'm joined by the usual crew of Stephen.
Hello, everyone.
And Daniel.
Greetings and salutations.
Okay, so because this is a traditional episode, because we had a VCR last fortnight, so that means we'll go through all of the news, and because we don't have any new releases this cycle, we're going to just talk about whatever we're playing at the moment. Mine is a new release, I don't know about the other guys', but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, I guess. As always, we'll start with Smash Bros. I don't know what we're going to do when Smash Bros. Is released. We'll talk about so little to more to talk about, but we'll see what happens. So... to start off with, Nintendo, or I shouldn't say Nintendo, I should say Sakurai, because he posts it up. He's confirmed two more stages for the 3DS version, because obviously that's their focus, because it's the first one to come out. There's going to be, like, a level based on the Dot Matrix Game Boy, so, you know, the very old school, very first Game Boy, the one that took, like, four AA batteries.
The green brick.
You had a contrast slider as well as a volume slider.
Oh. Did the contrast drop off with the colour?
Yep.
Yeah.
They still had it with the pocket, but that's irrelevant.
Game Boy Light has this as well.
I don't really know how this level works. Apparently, you know, it makes authentic sounds and stuff, but it looks just like a flat, you know, a flat area that you just run across. I don't know. Maybe
it looks a little bit like... It might be like Flat Zone from Melee, how, you know, bits from different games will appear and kind of change the landscape, maybe.
Well, I was going to say, is it like, what was that... PictoChat level or the WarioWare level where sort of, you know, it'll keep changing. Because, I mean, that would be cool. Like, 1 minute you're playing on Mario Land and then the next it's Kirby's Adventure. Kirby's Dream Land.
Yeah. On top of that, Sakurai also revealed a Paper Mario level, and I believe it's the Paper Mario on GameCube. Is that true? Oh, no, there's two sides to the level. Yeah, so one side of the level is Paper Mario Sticker Star, and the other side is Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. So basically,
SS Flavion.
Yeah, since the stage is a piece of paper, it transforms when it folds over. So, you know, you've got one side which is like a like ship in the water, so it kind of looks like the Toon Link level, I think, in the old games.
A little bit like the one in Brawl.
The other side is, you know, it's kind of like just a green plains area with lots of wind and stuff, so... it fits the theme, I guess.
I'm so far behind, I didn't even know that Paper Mario level was happening.
I think that was revealed before the Game Boy one, but I could be wrong.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I think that's the only two levels that they've revealed since we last covered the news. Moving on to a lot more details about the 3DS version starting to come out, because, you know, it's pretty close. I'm pretty sure it's less than a month away for Japan.
I think it's about 2 weeks away in Japan.
So, Sakurai also revealed that the 3DS version of the game will have more trophies to collect than Brawl did. Brawl had 544 trophies total, so Smash Bros. 3DS will probably have more than that. They've basically said that the trophies... I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I really like the trophies, because they, you know, they go through so much stuff, and even if your favourite character doesn't make it in, like, seeing their trophy kind of adds...
Yeah.
I learned so many things about old, like, weirdly obscure Nintendo games by just looking through the trophies in Melee. It was really cool.
So basically, like, there's... I think in the old games, it's been so long, but I think you had the vending machine thing and you'd put coins in and that would come out.
You'd get a random chance of a new one.
But now I think these days there'll just be a trophy shop in the 3DS version, and, you know, you just pick the ones that you want. You can unlock them normally through gameplay, but you can also buy certain ones through the trophy shop, and sometimes those will go on sale as well. So,
it's interesting to see they haven't done any sort of street pass. I would have thought they'd do a, you know, you might get a random chance to get a one from someone that you pass, but
I mean,
maybe they'll do something else.
There might be, but it's been, you know, so long. I mean, I think we might not find out that kind of stuff until closer.
Yeah, true.
Didn't
I would
even
be surprised
think about
if
street
they
pass.
Didn't do anything street passy for it.
They'd have to, surely.
And obviously, you know, it's a game. It's got a lot of content in it, so it should come to us no surprise that the game itself, apparently on 3DS, will be 2.1 gigabytes, which isn't the biggest 3DS game, apparently.
I guess Donkey that doesn't
Kong.
Seem very big.
Yeah. Resident Evil?
Donkey Kong Country Returns is the biggest, apparently. But I think the main, I guess, take-home message from this is... The SD card that you get with your 3DS won't be big enough to hold just this game. So, if you do buy it digitally, you probably have to upgrade your SD card at some point.
How big's the SD card that comes with the 3DS?
It's 2 gig, I think.
No, it's bigger than that. It's 4.
Is it?
3DS XL, I'm pretty sure, came with
I think
with
XL
gig.
Comes with a 4 gig
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
the regular one
came
with 2.
Came with 2. Oh, maybe that's why I'm getting confused.
I'm rocking 128 gig.
I don't buy digital that much, so I don't really need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is obviously just the Japanese version of the game. They basically got that information from those little promo cards they put in shops. So it might even get bigger with all the, you know, English text being added to the game or whatever at some point, too.
It's interesting to compare, like, a GameCube disc was only about 1.4, 1.5 gigabytes, and I'm not sure if Melee took up the entire disc, so it's at least a little bit bigger, you know, more content than Melee had.
Yeah, for sure.
I think music's got to be a big part of it as well, because it wasn't... Melee, like Brawl really went all in with music.
Mm.
Are we talking about the other thing that's come up with the music as well?
I don't really know.
No, we're not. Apparently, there's going to be a mode set up where you can close the 3DS and just leave it to play the music from the game.
It'll be the world's biggest, most clunky MP3 player.
But I think that's cool.
It is kind of cool they're doing it. I don't see myself ever using it, but I guess it's kind of neat.
It's bizarre. On top of that...
Does everyone remember that the 3DS actually has a music player in it?
No.
Yeah, you can load in MP3s.
Don't have to convert them to AC3 or something.
Oh, no idea. But yeah, you can do that.
MP3s. Anyway, to close off this section, we'll talk about, just quickly, the Super Smash Bros. Console, which was announced. It's coming to Europe and Australia. I don't know if it's coming to America. But in Australia, it's basically you can only purchase it through the EB Games website. It's an exclusive thing. So they're really, I think they're just bringing it over like in as small amount as possible as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even come with the game either. So it's just a specially designed 3DS XL console.
It's really weird that the box has a PG rating, but it doesn't come with any game. Like, why would they put that there?
But I think the 3DS boxes had PG on them too.
Yeah, there might be. Oh, it
Isn't
might be
the
like included
for the AR games and stuff. Maybe?
Yeah, it could be like Face Raiders and stuff is rated PG, I guess.
Because it's all on there.
I don't know if you guys agree with the design for this Smash Bros. Edition 3DS. I kind of wish it didn't have that Smash Bros. Logo. I think it would look really cool with just the characters.
I would prefer. I don't know about how I feel about it being all white. Like,
like the characters being grayscale against the red.
I don't know. I think that's weird, but I don't know. It's hard to. It's hard to...
It sort of looks like a drawing. It looks like a drawing no one's coloured in.
Yeah.
I think it's going to depend on what kind of... how they get that image on there. Is it going to be like a sticker? Is it going to be... You know, because usually they just etch like black black plastic stuff over the regular shell. But with this having multiple colours, I don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I'd like to see one in person.
Yeah, that would be good. But it's not going to happen. You have to buy it online. And then I guess you could return it, but not... I don't know if you can change.
I'll just keep an eye out at my uni all day.
Yeah. We forgot one more thing.
We did. I was going to...
There's one... The only character that's been confirmed playable since the last time we'd had a podcast was Meta Knight, which I guess really came as no surprise to anyone. I thought he was really cool. I know apparently he's, like, overpowered.
Apparently they've...
Priority Knight.
He said he's nerfed him a bit, so... he's not as overpowered as he was.
Yeah, I think he was cool, you know, like he's like a bad Kirby person, whereas...
He's not bad.
I just really liked his quick sword movements, so
it's
kind of great.
Meta Knight's like, you know, the kind of proto-man sort of character. He's not bad, but he's just sort of the...
He's not bad, he just tries to kill you on a regular basis.
He's the anti-hero. DDD's never really bad either, he's just sort of...
Everyone in the land of Kirby is just too nice. That's the problem.
Well, except for,
we're just having this deep and meaningful discussion of morality in the Kirby universe.
Sakurai sort of is... I mean, isn't that... People say he sort of overpowers his own creations a bit. Like, Kirby was originally very overpowered.
Was he?
Well, he could fly in the original.
Yeah. Mm. No one else really could. Also, I guess Jigglypuff could.
But yeah, Meta Knight is great.
But yeah, so we're like a month out from the Japanese release?
I think it's not even a month.
Because, I mean, there's been a few sort of like leaked full rosters that I've seen.
Been going on since like before the game was even announced. Like,
yeah.
But I mean, have you seen the one that I think it was some really good looking screen grabs?
I think the closer we're getting to release, the more we're seeing of the actual like character select screens at E3 and stuff, the more accurate people are going to be able to make the leaks look, regardless of how accurate they really are.
Because it's so easy, and it's always the roster. No one ever gets freaking gameplay screenshots. It's always the roster, like the character select screen. I wouldn't believe it until you saw it in action. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
And it, since when have Nintendo ever been, you know, people who have had stuff leak? Like,
I know, that's
other
true.
Publishers and stuff. It never happens. The only time we're going to have a full roster leak is when the game is out. Or maybe a week before, when people, you know, grab it from retail early or something. But I don't know what's Japan's like in terms
Is it Kokoro Koro or whatever, the Japanese magazine or something? Apparently they will be unveiling the full roster soonish.
No, they won't. That was...
That's what I...
About 4 weeks ago.
Oh, did we?
Okay. We talked about how it wasn't going to happen.
I don't know. I can't remember what happened last week.
It wasn't
getting
last...
old.
Anyway.
Hyrule Warriors!
So, that's enough for Smash Bros. We'll move on to Hyrule Warriors. There was a big Hyrule Warriors Direct on the 4th of August, I believe, and it went through a lot of stuff. We'll start off with the basic stuff. The game itself will be launching in Australia with a collector's package. Unfortunately, it's just the scarf. I would rather have had the clock, but, you know, I guess they don't care about my wants.
Clearly.
It's basically just the game with the scarf for an extra $20. I don't know if you guys find... I don't think that's very good value. I don't know.
Well, if it's a good scarf, I guess. Like, I'm not really up to date on the scarf market, but I guess $20 is okay. But that said, it's... I think there are going to be still a lot of people buying it because they'll just want to wear a Zelda fashion statement. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll bother personally.
Yeah, so this one is just the game and the scarf. In Japan, you get the game, the scarf, the Triforce clock, and all the downloadable costumes, plus a nice treasure chest box thing. I guess the only...
That plays the Zelda theme, that plays the chest opening thing.
Yeah.
Whenever you open it.
I guess the only question that comes out of this to me is like, how will we get the Ocarina of Time and Skyward Sword and Twilight Princess outfits for the characters?
I'm not sure that we have enough major retailers to do pre-order DLC. Like
EB Games just gets them all.
Yeah, and I kind of, as much as, you know, people don't like EB Games having everything, it's, you know, better than having to go to three different stores and buy it three times.
Yeah, exactly. Not that I would for costumes, but
no.
I know what you mean.
It's nice to have it all in one place.
In Australia, we will have the, like, if you register the game with Club Nintendo, you get the Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword, not Skyward Sword, Wind Waker, no. What is it? The three Ganondorf costumes.
Them ones.
Twilight Princess, Ocarina of Time, and something else. Anyway,
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, you get three extra Ganondorf costumes, I believe, if you register on Club Nintendo in Australia as well, which is cool. And yeah, it's not EB exclusive or anything. The scarf pack, you can get it from JB as well. I believe that it's going to be $99.95 everywhere, so yeah. Personally, I think the biggest news to come out of the Direct was that, you know, the villains in the game are playable.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyone who has, like, played a Dynasty Warriors or a Samurai Warriors game probably knew this was going to happen anyway. Because, you know, apparently...
You can play as everyone
games,
in those
yeah,
games.
They let you play as in different modes and stuff. So they announced that Zant and Girahim are playable in the game. They both only have one weapon each, unlike some characters. And Ganondorf will also be playable, which was kind of the worst-kept secret for a very long time.
I hope that Girahim can use his tongue as an attack.
I don't think he will be able to.
That would be just fantastic.
You can do that in Bayonetta 2, though, but we will get... we'll talk about that another day. if you register the game, you get your free DLC, as we mentioned. We don't really know how they factor into the story, but apparently all these characters do interact and they do have a story. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. The game itself, I guess if you really wanted to, you could go watch it now because it's out in Japan, but I don't think...
Yeah, I've seen somewhere on my YouTube subscriptions, I've seen people posting full playthroughs. I don't think it's something that I'd want to watch someone play, but if you're interested...
Yeah. On top of that, they also went through, you know, the single-player stuff, the meatier stuff that makes it more worthwhile, I guess. Adventure mode is basically... now, have you guys actually seen the Hyrule Warriors Direct?
Yes. Well, I mean, with the adventure mode, it looks like it's based on, you know, got a grid-based map and you explore around it. It sort of looked a little bit like NES Zelda, where you, with the exploration, and then when you get into a battle, it sort of went into the full-on Hyrule Warriors, you know, thousands of things getting diced up by swords sort of battle. I don't remember enough about it, but I do remember it looked, you know, when I saw that, I was, you know, I thought that actually the single player in this might be interesting. I was fully expecting it just to be a mindless do this level, then go to the next one, go to the next one. But it looks like it's a bit more, it's got a bit more room to, I don't know, to be more interesting than just a straight up linear level by level progression.
Yeah. On top of that, there's also like a badge market, which is more or less like a kind of a typical, you know, skill progression tree. You kill your enemies, you gather stuff from them. So in the screenshots they sent out, you could, I think it's Moblin Tooth or Monster Teeth or something. And, you know, you can use them to craft a new thing, a new badge, which will give your attack, say, a longer combo chain or a new attack or something like that. So it's, I mean, I don't know. I don't play enough of the Warrior games to know if this is the same. I mean, to me, it seems like it's...
Well, having a look, I was reading up a bit about the adventure mode, and it reminded me that each of the squares have very specific challenges as well, so they won't all just be kill all the things and, you know, or capture a flag or something. There'll be challenges specific to the area that you're in, so I don't know exactly what those challenges will be, but they'll all be kind of semi-unique as well, and there, you know, there'll be some that'll be harder than others, the way you can get items as a reward and stuff like that. And I don't remember anything like that in the one Dynasty Warriors game that I've played, but I didn't play that very extensively.
I mean, this has got a little bit more of a fantasy basis, so they can do a little bit more with it.
And the fact that it's not based on any sort of... I'm sure this isn't canon or anything, so they really can do anything that they want.
So is everyone getting Hyrule Warriors now? Or... I remember back in the day, I was pretty skeptical. I don't know. I can't remember what you guys thought, but I was like, no.
I'm still a little bit not. I think it looks interesting enough for me to risk buying it, and I'm happy that we have a 7-day return if it doesn't end up, you know, living up to what it seems to be. But I'm a lot more confident that it's going to be a better, you know, a good game than I was when I first saw it.
I mean, I've heard it's basically like. Like all the other Warrior games, but with Zelda, from a lot of the hands-on. The people who've already got it in Japan land. I think I was just listening to the 8-4 Play podcast, and they're talking a lot about it. And so, you know, it's good, but I think they're still pretty sure the appeal is that it's playing a Zelda game.
Yeah, well, clearly none of us would be talking about it if it was just another Dynasty Warriors game.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's coming out, I think, the 20th of September, so it's a little bit under a month away, that's going to be the first major Nintendo release since...
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
I was going to say Donkey Kong, but no Mario Kart.
Far out. Where's Bayonetta?
Yeah, I know. We don't even talk about it in this podcast. Anyway. We'll move on to Pokemon. We have a few, some... Omega, Ruby, Alpha, Sapphire news, plus a few other random things. The first
it's
one
like
is
like an awesome attack in like an anime Omega, Ruby, Alpha, Sapphire.
Yeah, it sounds like a like Sailor Moon attack or something. So basically, the Pokemon Company have confirmed that Mega Slowbro, Mega Ordino, Mega Salamanca, Mega Lopunny. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing these.
Shouldn't that be Salamence? I think someone goofed typing that.
Right. And Mega Altaria or Altaria have all been confirmed to be in the game. So I feel like that's a lot of Megas. So would that be it? Or would there be more? I don't know.
I'm waiting for my Mega Dunsparce to be announced.
I don't think that will happen.
I'm kind of liking the looks. Oh,
wow.
I think they want to forget Jinx ever happened. I'm really happy with some of these Megas. I hadn't actually looked at many of them. I saw, obviously, Mega Slowbro, because he kind of made the rounds of the internet. But
hang on. So, is it a Mega of Slowking, or a Mega of...
I think it's a Mega of Slowbro, because Slowking, it was one of those like weird offshoot evolutions where it wasn't completely better, but just different, I think. That's my vague understanding. So, like, it wasn't so much the final evolution as just an option if you wanted to. And I think it's just Mega Slowbro. I really like the look of Mega Altaria. I always liked the weird cloud bird, and now it is a cooler Cloud Bird. It looks kind of like a cloudy Articuno.
So basically, on top of that, they also revealed that, you know, Pokemon Contest will be making a return, and they have kind of a new makeover. When you complete a contest in the game, you get a cosplay Pikachu. So basically, each cosplay Pikachu has a different move. So there's like the Pikachu Rockstar, who can use Meteor Mash, the Pikachu Popstar, who can use Draining Kiss, which is a fairy type move, and even Pikachu PhD, who can use Electric Terrain.
He will study you.
I like the Lucha Pikachu.
Yeah, Pikachu Libra can battle with Flying Press, which is a fighting type move. So basically,
I've never wanted to use Pikachu before, but I'm like, oh my god, I'm just going to use the Lucha Pikachu to just be amazing.
Yeah, so basically, it's cool that they've put that much effort in, I guess. It's kind of, like, PhD Pikachu looks pretty cool. But so yeah. Pikachu Libra. I do wonder if these things will actually be viable, though. Like, if they'll just, you know, kind of fun novelties or not. But I guess...
I think they will be kind of novelties, because... As far, I know, don't, you know, actually tell me if I'm wrong, because I probably am, but I feel like Raichu overall, if you're putting in the effort into actually be competitive, then I'm sure Raichu is going to be a better overall than a Pikachu. I think it's going to be a fun
the anime told me that it was better not to evolve Pikachu, because then he gets all his speed and stuff and can do the whole standing on his tail thing.
I don't know. We don't know. We don't.
Evolving him early is bad.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
Like Ash turns to rock and then Pikachu's tears.
So the Pokemon World Championships were also recently held in Washington, and one person has noticed that the Pokemon trading card game online, which is already running on computers, is in the works for the iPad. So the Pokemon company have confirmed that it is legit, like it wasn't just a video or something running on an iPad, like it is coming. To me, it's the perfect game that could have, you know, like in-app purchases or something.
Yeah.
I mean, with online functionality, that'd be really cool that I could just play someone, you know, in a lunch break or something on an iPad. You know, it just seems kind of... And, you know, less cleanup. That's what I always say about, like, board games and card games. Is like, you know, you don't have to have
boxes of decks of cards like I have strewn around my room right now.
Yeah.
I do remember I had a little bit of a play around with the PC version that this is based on, and it sort of, when you buy a deck of cards at the moment, you were able to either scan in or type in a certain code, and you'd be able to access either that deck or cards from that deck or booster in the online game as well. I'm not sure. I don't know if you could actually buy stuff for use just in the online game or whether it was an extension of having to buy the physical cards or not, but either way, I'm kind of interested.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would buy cards. Like, I've got so many sitting in my, like, cupboard that I haven't used for so long, so I don't think I'd start doing that again, but yeah.
About 2 or 3 years ago, I went through a phase, I bought, like, 1,000 cards, and now they're just sitting on my shelf. So yeah, I probably won't do that again.
Apparently, Nintendo's stocks jumped a bit as well with this announcement.
Nintendo iPad.
Yeah, well, I mean, even though Nintendo sort of had nothing to do with it, it was, because, you know, a lot of people think Pokemon and they automatically assume that's Nintendo. Not really, you know, it's sort of a bit of a grey area.
The stock market's weird.
So, to close up the Pokemon block of the news, which is really unfortunate because it takes place tomorrow, but oh well. The Pokemon Company will be holding a special reveal of a new Pokemon project. It'll be streamed on the Japanese video service Nico. So it's going to be... It's so weird watching streams on that site. Like, the comments, like, scroll across the video and stuff. It's very weird. So apparently it's a shocking Pokemon project. And...
Pokemon Fighters.
Yeah, I mean, it could be one of two things. I mean... There's Pokken Fighters, or there's that Pikachu Detective game they showed back in the day.
Wouldn't that be cool if that was like a Pokemon Ace Attorney sort of crossover?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what this could be. Do we even know if Pokken Fighters is a thing? Like, is it actually
It's been trademarked by Nintendo in various places. Yeah,
so many things are trademarked, they just are... I have no idea what this is. I can't wait to find out. I feel like I'm going to be disappointed that it'll just be a Pikachu mini film, like a Pokemon Pikachu's Vacation or something. But I want to find out.
Pokemon Company's bringing back the Pokemon Mini.
The cast Pokemon of the Mini, anime the app. Is going to be attending as well, so I've got a feeling it might have something to do with that, but who knows. Maybe they just need to promote. We'll see. We'll see tomorrow.
We will see.
So, but my official prediction would be Pokken Fighters, just because it, I don't know, but we'll see.
I guess you'll all know by the time you listen to this.
Yes,
so
you will, and you can
tell
us
if we're wrong in the comments.
Yeah. So yeah, that's enough for Pokemon, and we will move on to the eShop, where there's been a few announcements. We'll start off with the, I guess, this was quite a big deal, if you don't, okay. So the guy, his name is Dan Adelman?
He's
left Nintendo. He worked with Nintendo quite a bit, and to, you know, secure, you know, indie support, I guess, for the console. And he was one of the people who was behind, you know, getting rid of that thing where indie developers had to have an office. I don't know if you guys remember that, but, you know, to develop for the
WiiWare
they
couldn't
and
work
stuff,
from their home. They had to have an office, a
you
separate
had to
address
develop
otherwise.
A certain amount of, you have to sell a certain amount of games before you got money back.
Oh, God.
And all that kind of stuff. And so he was really instrumental in getting rid of all that stuff and getting more people to come on board. And I think when that's reflected, when you see a lot of Kickstarters today, they do have, you know, options for Wii U versions. We have a lot more games coming than what was before, and I feel like the quality's kind of gotten a bit better.
Yeah, there's just a lot fewer limits. When all the other platforms are, you know, pretty open with what they're going to allow on their systems, it made no sense for Nintendo to just putting these arbitrary restrictions on there, and I'm glad he worked to get rid of them.
Yes.
Well, I mean, he's been with the company for 9 years, so he's been there since, like, the since WiiWare and, you know, all of that started, so...
I mean, personally, I'm not surprised this happened. I think that...
Well, the big...
Did you guys see, you know, when he stopped, he wasn't allowed to use his Twitter account anymore?
Yeah,
Someone complained to him about the whole region locking, and he's like, I know, I understand, and...
He's like, no, banned from Twitter.
And the other one was something to do with Binding of Isaac, because Nintendo didn't want it, because it was too religious or something, so...
Yeah, had too many religious themes.
Yeah, he didn't really like that either, and I guess...
Well, isn't it... Because, I mean, everyone was wondering, where has he gone? And is it Emily Rogers or something? The one who apparently has inside contacts or whatever. She was saying that he'd been told to stay off Twitter.
Yeah. He definitely had.
He
been told
that,
to stay off.
Yeah.
Well, he's admitted it now.
Well, it was obvious, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he's done a full-on interview on Kotaku about, you know, I guess his role. I don't know if he left on good or bad terms, really. It's kind of weird. Nintendo are a bit weird with this kind of stuff, but yeah, I guess. Hopefully, you know, the eShop will get better still without him.
It seems like he's still actively working with indie developers, just not as a representative of Nintendo anymore, so I guess maybe his inside baseball knowledge might still be able to help indie developers sort of know how to talk to Nintendo and know what they want to hear.
Yeah. Moving on to Renegade Kid, their newest game has been revealed. It is called Xeo Drifter. It's coming to the 3DS eShop. I'm assuming that they've just dropped Cult County or something.
yeah, well, I mean, after the Kickstarter sort of failed, they're sort of just...
Clearly not that many people.
Jules is all over the place. I mean, you know, everything like with Moon being very weirdly done at the moment. And he's had Treasonauts in development for God knows how long. There's apparently meant to be Mutant Muds 2 on the way. We haven't even seen Mutant Muds on the Wii U down here yet.
Yeah, so basically what happened was this was... he was working on Treasonauts, Jules. And, you know, he got an idea to make a Metroidvania game, as almost every single indie developer seems to do these days. And as we know, Moon started off as a 2D kind of Metroid game. There's images and stuff if you look around. And this kind of looks quite similar, so maybe this was, you know, the start of
it. I'm pretty sure he said somewhere that's where a lot of the original design sort of evolved from.
So basically the game is, you know, all about you're in space, you have to kind of go to these foreign planets, explore. It's very simplistic. It's like an 8-bit, I guess, kind of looking game.
Weirdly, it reminds me of an old... It looks like an old PC game for some reason to me.
Like, it's got that sort of like DOS VGA, is it?
Yeah, maybe
EGA
it's just the way
something?
The colours are.
Yeah, this year, I believe, or maybe next year. But what that probably means is, I don't know if you guys will remember, but Moon Chronicles is episodic in America, but then in Australia it's going to come out at the end of the year as one. So maybe they'll do the same thing for this game, Xeo Drifter, which is spelled...
Yeah, it makes sense since they're, you know, the whole classification thing is still going to be a problem, same as it was for Moon Chronicles.
Yeah, which reminds me, I contacted someone the other day about a game that's coming out called The Fall, and they want to bring it out in Australia, but apparently the classification board just makes it so hard that they're not sure if they're going to be able to. How annoying is that?
Like, super annoying.
The game could come out anyway.
I don't think episodic works for the 3DS. It just,
I think it can perfectly work. It's just, you know, all these barriers to getting more than one thing out. It's,
personally, I think it can work. I don't really like episodic at all, but that's just
I mean, and more so given how a lot of the complaints to Moon Chronicles has been, he should have just released the whole game for $15 instead of breaking it up like this, because then it's just, it's so short and bite-sized, and it's it sort of leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and then you're less likely to get people buying the rest of it. Whereas if you had have just released the whole thing in one go, I think,
Well, I mean, if that's more to do with, you know, how long do you make an episode, how much do you charge for them, it's sort of separate to the whole, you know, episodic's not necessarily a bad thing, it's just doing it right, people are still working it out. Yeah. That's my thought. But yes, Zio Drifter.
We will see what happens, I guess, if it does come here. I'm really getting sick of seeing these kind of semi-promising indie titles, though, and then they're not coming out.
Yeah, it's almost at the point where you're just like, I'll be interested when I see it on the eShop. Until then, I just don't want to get invested.
I mean, we're still waiting for Shovel Knight, but
oh, God. Don't even remind me.
I reckon that's close, so just
anyway,
ease up and you guys will get to enjoy it.
To jump onto the complete other side of the spectrum, Cube Men 2, which is developed by Australian developer and who also now publishes, by the way. I don't know how to pronounce this. Is it just No or No?
I'm pretty sure it's just No.
Okay.
Or No.
No. I don't know. They've announced that Cube Men 2 for the Wii U will be coming out on September 4th. It will be coming out in Australia, and it costs $10.50 when it comes out here. It's the first independently developed game that features user-generated content and cross-platform play. So people who buy it on Wii U can play against people on PC, Linux, Mac, or EOS, iOS. So yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, looking at it, it's very, you know, simplistic, but I guess that's how you get it running on everything. I'm kind of excited to see what people create, because, you know, people are... There's so many creative people out there that, like, just, you know, can think of so much more than I could ever think of. And the other thing I love about user-generated content is, like, you know, people can recreate, like, classic maps from games like, say, GoldenEye or Perfect Dark or stuff like that. And I'm sure there will be some. But it's cool that it's multi-platform as well. Like, I honestly
really am impressed with that. Like, most games, they can't do multi-platform because, say, Xbox Live, they're just not allowed to interact with outside services. Whereas, apparently Nintendo doesn't have that limitation, which is kind of awesome.
What I was going to say is, like, you would never see Sony or Microsoft let someone do that for their...
But the closest we've ever seen before is, like, Xbox and PC, but that lasted for,
like, Shadow Games. Run and Lost Planet, I think that was it.
Yeah. And I feel like this, it looks, I mean, I haven't obviously played it, but it looks like a game where you're not going to have an unfair advantage depending on if you've got a mouse and keyboard or a controller or clearly a touch device that's sort of, you know, going to be a relatively even playing ground.
Okay, so, Cube Men 2, it's been out for a while on other platforms, so when Wii U people boot it up, they'll be able to play, you know, I think they said over 8,000 levels are already there. So when you boot that up, you'll have all the access to that straight away, which already makes it quite a good purchase, I think.
It'll be. I don't know if they've got some sort of like a top, you know, top most downloaded or most popular maps, because, you know, with that much stuff, hopefully there's a cool way to get at the best content straight away. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. So it's got single player, it's got multiplayer, and, you know, it's got a mix of touch and gamepad controls. So it sounds like it's going to try and take advantage of all the features of the Wii U as well, which is good. September 8th, did I say?
September 4th. September 4th.
Yeah, so that's even in Australia, so that's pretty good. I'm probably
looking forward to it.
Moving on to Steel Diver Subwars. I don't know, does anyone still play this out of us?
No.
I keep meaning to.
Played it one time.
I've got other stuff to play.
So Nintendo have updated it to version 3.0, which now lets you set up internet battles with your friends.
Oh!
I'm surprised
you have the premium version.
At the beginning?
I'm surprised this is in version 3 and not version 1, but whatever.
Well, back when we were playing it, like you were really shitty. We couldn't just do friend battles against each other and had to play randoms.
It was annoying. So obviously they've added two new stages, I think, that I don't know what else they've added. I think that's it. All right, and you can't shoot down your friends. So that's kind of good, I guess.
Oh. Thank you.
Well, that did happen a lot. I mean, because it was sort of a bit, you know, you sort of forget what team you're playing sometimes.
Oh, really?
Because you always switch colours. Like, sometimes you're red team, other times you're blue. So you can forget which side you're on. And then, hang on, he was mine. Oh, sorry. Crap.
I mean, part of me thinks that this has been doing well because, you know, they've kept supporting it. They would drop it if it was shit, right?
Yeah.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know of anyone that has played it beyond, like, the first month it came out, but maybe they're out there. Say hello if you're out there.
Yeah. So, it's... the update will hit in August, and, yeah, if anyone's still playing, you get more free stuff, which is cool, I guess. So, yeah. That wraps up pretty much all the eShop stuff, so we'll move on to the brand new announcements, or, I guess, the brand new updates. Etrian Odyssey Untold is getting a sequel. I believe that the idea of the Untold series of Etrian Odyssey games is to kind of, like, retell the stories from previous games, and this one is a retell of the second game, as you would expect, since the first one was the first game. I do think this will come outside of Australia, not Australia, Japan, because the other one did, but, I mean, I don't know, it depends on how well it sold, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, most of the... I've seen a bunch of Etrian Odyssey games just around in Australian retail. They must do okay. They probably don't need a massive audience, but I'm sure there's a few people that are, you know, dedicated Etrian Odyssey fans.
They have a very dedicated fan base. We'll buy everything they release.
On top of that, Samurai Warriors Chronicles 3, the most annoying title ever, is coming to the 3DS and the Vita in Japan. There have been no Western dates confirmed as of yet, but... I think Nintendo might pick it up and bring it over here, but I'm not sure. It'd be a kind of game you could kind of fill a gap in the 3DS library with. I mean, I don't.
And potentially after Hyrule Warriors, people might be, you know, interested in looking at where, you know, the Warriors games actually started from.
Yeah, for sure.
Or, you know, the less Zelda-y ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's two titles that have been announced in Japan. Probably might come, but we'll see. And finally, the game that everyone's been waiting for, Sonic Boom, has been given a release date of November 29th in Australia.
Hooray!
So both the Wii U and the 3DS versions will be releasing. For anyone who doesn't know, the Wii U version is called Rise of the Lyric, I think. And it's been developed in LA by Big Red Button. And I believe it runs on the Crytek engine, sorry. But I'm not sure.
CryEngine.
Yeah, CryEngine.
Yep. I'd heard something about that, yeah.
And the 3DS version is called Shattered Crystal, and that's being developed by Senzaru Games, who are the guys who made...
And doesn't run on the Crysis engine.
No, I would assume not on 3DS, but they could surprise us. so I think Senzaru made the Sly games, but I could be wrong. So both the games take place in, you know, an all-new Sonic world that's been designed around this animated series that they're debuting soon as well. And he has all his friends joining him, including a newcomer named Styx. I don't know if that's meant to be...
Because the friends were what everyone loved out of the previous Sonic games.
You don't have enough of them!
Sonic
and I really want this to be good. It doesn't look like it's going to be good, but I really want it to be. But
Steven, that's every Sonic game, though.
I know. Generations was so good, and then I was... Yeah, they might
have
worked
it Colors, out. Colors was okay, from what I've heard.
And then they just flopped.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to finding out about this one
not
on
even the
29th of November.
Not even the handheld ones can be good anymore after what happened with Lost World.
I mean, Lost World, to me, I saw that and I was like, wow, this might be actually good. And then apparently it was shit, so I kind of was like, oh no.
Sonic!
Pack it
the
up.
The cycle is complete. And Mega Man can't get games, but none of his games sucked.
I hope that Rose and Creed...
Have you played Mega Man X7?
No.
It's shit.
Okay.
Anyway. We should move on.
On top of that...
I've got that Command Mission game, though.
Even though I don't know what this is, I'm kind of excited because I like new things. Level 5, who developed the Professor Layton games, and Fantasy Life, which comes out in September, have announced that their new IP, which is called Yo-Kai Watch, I think, is going to
be Yo-Kai Watch.
So it's coming
because a yokai is a Japanese ghost.
Oh, I see. And there are ghosts in the pictures. That makes sense.
Yes.
With funny smiles.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically, it's coming outside of Japan, I believe, in 2015. It's kind of seems like Pokemon, but with ghosts.
Ghost Pokemon.
It's and a huge. Watch. It's huge in Japan.
So the first game sold 500,000 copies, and the sequel sold 1.2 million copies in just 4 days, which is a lot. So it's
that is pretty
big.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what this is like. I would watch the trailer now, but I am recording a podcast, so I won't. But yeah,
I like the look of the smiley ghost.
Yeah,
I've heard a lot of good impressions on it on the series from my 8-4 Play podcast. I'm surprised it's taken so long. I mean, the first one did really well, and I'm sort of a bit surprised Level 5 didn't try and get on it a bit sooner, like especially like looking how we were in a bit of a 3DS drought at the moment. I'm like, this would have been the perfect time for this game to come out. Whereas now it's probably going to come out about...
Really, is there anything else coming out for the 3DS in the next ever?
Yeah, I mean...
I feel like any time this comes out, it's going to be a good time for it to come out.
Yeah, so we'll move on to the last segment of the podcast, the news, I guess, which, as per tradition, is bad news. The first one is that Captain Toad Treasure Tracker has been moved back to January 2015 for Australia and New Zealand. North America and Japan will still get the game this year. I do wonder why they're doing that. I find that really weird.
Yeah, it is really weird
why
that they would...
Australia and Europe? Like, maybe they're getting something else before and they need to move that back? I don't know. I find that really bizarre. And this is another one of those games, like Bayonetta, where surely it's close to being done, but we still don't have dates for it.
And I mean, clearly it's going to be done before it comes out here, since it's going to be out in the US. It's really weird. I wouldn't have thought that like manufacturing shouldn't be a problem, because the weird, they don't have to make that many copies, surely. But I don't really understand why they're doing this.
I mean, the only thing that just came into my head just then was maybe they want to release it in America, see how it does, and then adjust their pricing or release strategy for the rest of the world.
If I have to wait till January and I can get it for, you know, $40 instead of $60, then maybe I'll be okay with that.
There's so much like apprehension about it because people aren't sure if it's going to be worth a full price or a retail game or whatever.
It's not a real game.
I've heard that thrown around. It should be an eShop game. And I'm like, okay, well, you don't know.
They
it.
Are
really?
Fake games.
I mean, I'd be happy with something like this coming out. You know, we're not getting a Mario game this year, and something like this would be a nice sort of kind of Mario game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what they do with it, but we'll see, I guess. Oh, yeah, so, and then to close things off, in case you have forgotten, Watch Dogs is a video game that was going... It's coming to Wii U still, apparently. I'm surprised.
I'm going to buy it on Wii U!
So,
better pre-order, because I doubt they'll get many copies.
Yeah, I don't think they'll get any at this stage, right? So obviously when Ubisoft announced their old Assassin's Creed game for like their old consoles, Wii U was left out for this round, I guess. And
that's Unity?
Oh no, Rogue it's called.
Oh, Rogue, right, okay.
Yeah, and that's on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3.
Yep.
And people kind of thought it would be on Wii U since Wii U got Black Flag and Assassin's Creed 3. But no, it's not going to happen. Basically, Ubisoft have come out and said that it's very simple. What we see is that Nintendo consumers don't buy Assassin's Creed. Last year, we sold very small numbers. Didn't it come out late as well, or was that... Does anyone know? I'm not sure.
I don't think it... I think Assassin's Creed 3 was a little bit late just because the console was a bit later, but I think Black Flag was pretty well on time.
It may have been like a week or two after the PS4 version, I think.
Yeah,
I've
got a
feeling
probably. That something went on there. Anyway... What we see is that they are very interested in Just Dance and very interested by other kinds of games. So what we are trying to do is focus more on the types of games they are interested in. Watch Dogs,
I'm interested in Zombie U, Ubisoft.
Watch Dogs is coming to Wii U. It will be the only mature game we publish on it. So, I mean, this is so contentious at the moment. I don't know if you guys have heard about Operation Platinum.
What's that?
Don't buy Ubisoft games because they don't support
them.
Oh. Yeah. Buy Bayonetta.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of Operation Platinum, but I'd heard of people, make a statement by buying a video game.
Don't buy Ubisoft games because they don't support Nintendo? Is that...
I've got to go. I haven't actually looked at it, but that's the general gist.
From what I understand, yeah, they're like
Platinum,
because Platinum Games are supporting
Bayonetta. But everyone's saying that let's all buy Bayonetta to show that we really do like mature games, but we don't want to support Ubisoft, and it's really weird. I really don't think people should be making such a big philosophical statement by buying video games, but I mean, whatever. People can do what they want.
I mean, the Wii U has gotten in. I mean, I don't think it's Nintendo's fault that the Wii U's gotten into this. I mean, you know, whatever happened in the past with the Wii and the GameCube to sort of lead Nintendo to the family-friendly image, whatever. But I think
it's
Wii
a
U,
little bit Nintendo's fault.
But I mean, well, with the Wii U, is it their fault that that Batman Origins comes out with a cut-down version compared to what the other systems get, or the same with Transformers: Rise of the Darkspawn, or I mean, Assassin's Creed 4? I'm pretty sure we missed out on some DLC there, or then we get stuff late. Or I mean, Ubisoft did make a good effort at the beginning with Zombie U. I think what hurt Zombie U was it sort of got really mixed receptions right off the bat and scared a lot of people off. But then all their other multi-platform games, we basically get the gimped version of it. I mean, I only just picked up Assassin's Creed 4 for the Wii U because it was on sale on the eShop for a really good price and I couldn't sort of say no to it. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like they are dicking Nintendo fans around a bit. I mean, especially after Rayman Legends. I mean, you know, that should have been... I mean, I wouldn't have minded of it coming out on the other systems later, but it was ready for launch well over six months before it actually came out, just because they decided they wanted to release on it everything else at the same time.
I agree with Rayman Legends, but then, like, you know, they put out Assassin's Creed 3, they put out Rayman Legends, they put out Just Dance, and they put out AC4, even after AC3 probably didn't sell that well. So, like, you know, at what points do they stop? Like, to me, they put in a bit more effort than other developers have.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, like, Ubisoft have been really good. I mean,
like, compared to EA.
Oh, Mass Effect 3 clearly didn't sell well on the Wii U. Clearly, Nintendo fans don't want EA games.
Warner Brothers.
Let's forget the fact that that Mass Effect 3 came out at the same time as Mass Effect Trilogy on the PS3. And if I'm looking at one which is all of the games and one that is just one of the games, I'm like, well.
But even like Warner Brothers, you know, they bought out Arkham City, and then I don't think it sold that well either. But then they still put the effort in, put out Arkham Origins, even though it was gimped.
Arkham City came out a year after it had come out on the other systems. It was going to sell badly regardless. I don't care how much they wanted to hype it up and give it time at Nintendo's press events. It wasn't going
to sell. The biggest part of it is that people, if developers are still making games, and they clearly are for the older platforms, there's so many people that already have a 360, already have a PS3, that the Wii U market is going to be so small for games that they could get on a different platform. It's the same sort of thing we've basically been saying since the Wii U came out, but there's just so little reason to buy stuff on the Wii U, because at this point, if it's very rare for someone that, you know, the Wii U is the only platform they have and they don't have a 360 or a PS3.
I mean, I know I'm probably the exception to the rule.
You're
but I mean, very much the exception. Yeah, well, I'm looking at my Wii U games now, and I'm pretty sure it's like a 50-50 split between, like, stuff that's M and higher and stuff that's lower. I mean, like, yeah, I don't think lots of people bought Darksiders 2 or Injustice for the Wii U.
I think it is a huge bummer. Like, it basically means that there is not going to be another Zombie U or anything else, you know, original and exciting, and it's sort of not a Just Dance 2018 edition. Or it seems like they're just going to stick with what they know sells on the Wii U and not really bother with anything else.
Well, we didn't even get Valiant Hearts or whatever it was.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, we got Child of Light at the very least, but we didn't get the Valiant Hearts things. And
that was
the same
engine and stuff too.
Ubisoft was sort of the last holdout of the third parties, because it's just sort of... I mean, we might get some Japanese stuff, but I think it's going to get a lot more dire from here on out, and it's going
to
be up to Nintendo.
That's why I don't like to people having a go at them. Like, I feel like they've tried the most out of everything.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, it's just...
It's a shitty situation.
Yeah, it is.
What about Watch Dogs? I mean, that should have come out the same time as all the other versions, and now it's being sent out to die.
But the thing is, like, how long... It came out in May. We're now, what, 5, 6, 7... we're, like, 3 months...
It would have clearly... I feel like it would have taken them extra time and extra effort to make it work on the Wii U to include all the extra features and stuff, and that just wasn't worthwhile. If they could release it 3 months ahead of time on everything but the Wii U, why would you delay it to make it feature parity with the Wii U? Like, no one's going to buy it.
But no one's going to buy it being late.
Like, everyone who wanted Watch Dogs has probably played it.
I feel like they feel... I don't know what they actually think, but I would expect that having it late on the Wii U makes more business sense, more sales sense than, you know, having it, you know, not on the Wii U at all. It, you know, they're just going to bring it out. It's really the best of two situations.
I do completely agree. Ubisoft has given more to the Wii U than all the other third parties. I mean, like, you know, it was just sort of confirmed the other day, Activision's not even bothering bringing Call of Duty Advanced Warfare to the Wii U this year.
But they did bother putting the Nuketown map as DLC for Black Ops 2.
Yes.
So that only
they still care.
Only took them 2 years for one map, but we still got it.
So, I mean, you know, it's basically going to be Warner Brothers maybe bringing out a Scribblenauts or Disney giving us Infinity or Activision giving us Skylanders from here on out. And, I mean, you know, it'll be good for the indie market for the eShop, but the eShop isn't really... I don't know. I don't think eShop is what sells consoles, even...
When we all first heard about the Wii U, we were like, man, I hope Nintendo go back to supporting the real games like they did on the GameCube, and they've done exactly that. It's a GameCube 2.
But worse, it's selling worse than the GameCube. I'd be happy if it was selling at GameCube levels.
I think overall,
but it's not.
The GameCube is still better, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll cut it off at that, because we're going over time already. We'll go to a quick break, and we will return to talk about our team picks. And we're back. So, in this, whenever we have an episode where there's no new releases or it's a bit of a slow period, but we don't want to do heaps of VCRs, we've decided to do what we call a team picks episode. So basically, each of us will pick between one and two games, and it doesn't have to be Nintendo, but we'll just talk about it as if it was, you know, it just come out this week or something. So it's just basically replacing the new release talk with just, you know, games played.
Just whatever we're playing.
Which is what we did back in the day. So I guess it's like a throwback Wednesday.
Oh, many hours of
long-time fans.
Many hours of Anthony talking about Dark Messiah.
Civilization.
Memories.
I will be talking about SteamWorld Dig on Wii U, which will be out this week, as well as this weird little horror game made by Hudson called Calling for Wii. Steven will be talking about Rogue Legacy. And Daniel will be talking about Transformers Rise of the Darkspark for 3DS. I played the Wii U one, but yeah, 3DS.
It's completely different.
Yeah. So I'll start off with SteamWorld Dig on Wii U. It's pretty much the same as what you'd expect for, as you know, it's SteamWorld Dig in high definition with, I guess, pretty animations. It's a really good game still, though. I never got to play it on 3DS when you guys did, so...
Really?
No.
Oh.
Don't you remember? I was like, oh, I'm going to play it, but...
I thought you would have played it by now.
No, I didn't, and I'm kind of glad I waited, because I prefer it on a console anyway. It's very pretty, really good looking.
Yeah, it really is, and I think it looks like they put a whole lot of effort in to start with to make all the assets look really, really good, probably better than the 3DS even was capable of showing. And then now that it's on other platforms that have a higher resolution, it just looks so gorgeous. And,
well, I mean, like, this is because it's been on PS3.
It's on everything but Xbox at the moment.
Is it on PS4?
Yep.
So I wonder if I've picked it up on PS Plus somewhere.
The Wii U version is pretty solid. Pretty. The gamepad stuff is well thought out. Like, it's nothing groundbreaking, but, you know, you have the options as well. Like, you can either have everything on one screen, like your maps and your character and stuff, or you can split it so your inventory and your maps are on the gamepad and just your TV is completely just game. There's no...
That's really good. Like, yeah, that was one of the... It's a very minor thing, but I kind of missed when I was playing it on PS4. It was kind of nice having, you know, your screen didn't have any HUD. It was just just the game, and then you had all your other junk on the bottom screen, and it was kind of nice like that on the DS. And I think, you know, if you haven't bought it on anything, it sounds like the Wii U might be the way to go, because you can get that, you know, pretty screen with all your inventory separate, as well as, you know, having it super pretty on a big screen as well.
Yeah, and it's very addictive. Like, I knew you guys said it was, but it is. It's so...
Oh, it is.
Especially when, like, so at the beginning, I was like, oh, this is so slow, like, because you've got your pickaxe is so shit at the beginning. And then as you get the drill and you upgrade it and, you know, everything goes down with one hit, you just want to cover all of the map. It's like that Metroid kind of feel, but in Metroid, I only go and look and try to fill the grid on my map whenever I'm looking for stuff, but with Dig, I'm just trying to do it all the time, just because.
Yeah. And it almost feels a bit sort of personal, like you kind of make your own labyrinth to go through. You kind of learn the best way to go up and down after you do it so much.
It's all randomly generated, so it is sort of making your own level.
Yeah, so we all have different minds that we've played through, which is kind of weird. But we have the same, it's the same structure still, I think.
Yeah, it still has the same, you know, you'll go to certain levels and there'll be the same, I think the same puzzle rooms and the same major events. But everything between them is all randomly generated and you'll work your way around it a different way every time.
I'd be interested to know what they're up to next, the studio.
Yeah, I do wonder that.
They have actually said that they're working on something new in the SteamWorld universe that's not Dig 2, but something good. in that universe.
I mean, you know, not many people sort of know that SteamWorld Dig is a sequel to SteamWorld Defense on DSi, and like no one probably played or heard of that, but it's good they did something completely different for the next one, because it paid off.
I'm trying to think of anything else, like, important. I mean, having touch is good if you want to just, like, look at your inventory and throw shit out that's shit to pick up something good. That happened to me a lot in the early days.
Yeah, I think I've actually, when I've been playing it on the PS4, it's been a little bit, I've sort of accidentally used items where I didn't mean to, because I, you know, it was kind of harder to remember which buttons change your inventory out, whereas on the DS and on the Wii U, it would just be a matter of tapping the one that you want to use, and you wouldn't get confused and accidentally put down a portal immediately next to another portal.
Yeah, that's the other thing that kind of, there's only two things that annoy me with this game. It's like, the first one is you can have multiple portals, right? But then, like, how do you... You can't choose which ones to go to.
Yeah, I think it just...
It's just your latest
one.
Like,
the most recent one. Yeah.
Like, that's kind of annoying. But I understand... I mean, at the same time, you don't want to kind of, you know, quick... It's kind of like people who play Skyrim, but they just quick travel everywhere. It doesn't really... it's not the same as, you know...
I mean, that's sort of how something like Terraria works.
I thought the portals were really well... It worked out pretty well, because you would have... You know, you'd go a fairly long time without a portal, and then when you get one, you're like, oh, man, I don't have to keep going up and down that one particular part. But then, you know, you'll just basically start... You've got a new starting point, and you just keep going deeper and deeper. It kind of... It was good. It stopped it getting... Just as it was getting a little bit tedious going back up and down, it gives you another portal to make it a little bit easier to, you know, justify digging down a bit further.
Yeah. And the other thing that annoys me is, you know how you have your money as your currency, but then you have the blue orbs?
Yeah.
Like, I've got a feeling there's not a lot of blue orbs, so you have to pick which upgrades you buy. Like, you can't buy all of them. Is that true or not? Because I definitely have... There's such a shortage of blue orbs. I'm going to have to go back through places and stuff throughout my whole playthrough.
I'm not actually sure if there's like enough to buy everything. By the end of it,
I had all the upgrades.
Okay, I never played to get every single thing, but I never also, you know, I got to the end and I never felt like I didn't have enough upgrades to play properly.
I mean, I it's more of a completionist, like, achievement-y kind of thing of mine. Like, I just want to buy everything, but it's pretty hard at the moment because I've got heaps of money but no orbs.
Forces you to make these emotional choices.
Yes.
When will Mass Effect?
You eventually get an upgrade which will show you where stuff is hidden around the maps as well, so you'll probably see that there's a few orbs. Yeah, there's some you've missed.
That's handy. Yeah.
And I mean, the game sort of, I mean, they, for a while on their Facebook page, they were encouraging people to do speed runs. Yeah.
Yeah, they had competitions and stuff.
That's cool. Yeah, but it's really good. I believe it's $11.50 when it comes out here. Cheaper if you own the 3DS version.
That's a nice bonus.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely recommend it. I don't...
It's a shame you don't have the 3DS one, because I'd like to know which you'd honestly prefer. Because, I mean, the only thing stopping me from getting... I mean, I don't... Even though I've done it so many times, I don't really want to buy it again.
Well, I mean, I've played the console versions and the 3DS one, and if I'm being absolutely honest, I think I'd prefer it on a bigger screen. Everything just looks so much nicer when you've got more pixels to play with than the 3DS has. And I think the Wii U might be the best way to do it, just because you've got the big screen and the touch. Like,
see, for me, it's just I really like playing 2D platformers on a handheld at the moment. Especially, I've been on my huge Mega Man kick lately, and I've just been playing through all of them on the 3DS and just...
Well, I mean, it's the same game wherever you play it, so yeah. If you want to play it on 3DS, play it there, I guess. They're all going to be a pretty damn good game.
Yeah,
I can't imagine playing this on 3DS, which is weird because it came out first on 3DS.
Mm.
I just think for the screen would be too small. It'd be not as open. I like the openness of this. It's weird.
Yeah, it is hard to go back to, I'll admit. I gave it a little bit of a try, and I was just wishing for at least a Vita-sized screen.
And just while we're on this quickly, the presentation is a bit... do you guys get this, kind of depressing post-apocalyptic vibe from it?
Oh, yeah.
The music is so, somber. It's so weird. I don't know what to think.
The game is, if you sort of go into the, he's done a bit of a history to the world, and the zombies are actually just humans who, have sort of become really lazy and, the world's destroyed and all that, whereas the robots are trying to keep everything all going smoothly and working right.
Yeah, basically you're digging into the history of that planet. Humans, their time is basically over and done with. They just sort of live underground now. And yeah, robots are the new, they're the upper level, I guess. It is pretty well a post-apocalyptic game that just doesn't rub it in your face.
But it's good. I love it. Even though it is a bit depressing, but it's good.
Yeah.
The other game that I played, I'll talk about it really quickly because I don't think either of you have. It's called Calling. It's a really, really, really obscure horror game developed for the Wii by Hudson before they died, obviously.
Mm. R.I.P.
You can buy it. It's not America only. There's PAL versions available, so I wouldn't have talked about it if there wasn't. It's very by the numbers. It's about people who get phone calls and then they die and they're killed by ghosts.
Oh, hence the Calling.
Yes. And it's a good concept for the Wii because, you hold the Wii remote up to your ear and the phone calls play through that, and it's,
Remember me, Alex.
And it's kind of gross, the speaker is terrible in the Wii remote, so yeah. It kind of adds to the scariness, because it sounds
it emulates an old haunted phone.
Yeah. and it's Wii horror games. I've ignored so many of them, so that's why I wanted to dig into this one, because I wanted to talk about it for Halloween, but then I thought, nah, I won't make people do this, because apparently it's shit. So I decided to do it for this. And yeah, it's just so... So basically, it's a first-person game. You move with the nunchuck. You look around with the Wii remote. You can interact with things. The interactions are done quite well. You grab a drawer, you pull it out. It works. Unlike Trauma Center, where you kind of have to keep,
You've got to do it exactly how it wants you to.
Opening cupboards and stuff is the same. And it's generally pretty... it builds up the suspense quite well. But it's a very bad-looking game. It's to the point where it's not really scary. And, that being said, Silent Hill 1 is one of the worst-looking games we've ever played, but it's one of the scariest games we've ever played as well.
Mm.
So it's kind of... I think it's just bad art, do you know what I mean? And it's just so cliche, it's about this guy who collects dolls, and the dolls are haunted, and, sometimes the dolls are alive, and it's just, so...
It just sounds so much like one of the first year of the Wii had so many of those weird little... It was cool that they were experimenting with lots of little things, but it was sadness. Also... You could tell that they put all of $100 budget into it.
Sadness.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cursed Mountain, all those weird little
Cursed
games
Mountain
you've never
was
seen.
So good, though.
I have a copy. I found
we
it.
We should do
so
that.
I'm gonna play that.
Cursed Mountain is very good. Well, not very good, but it's good. But this game, yeah, it's kind of like Shattered Memories, Silent Hill Shattered Memories, sorry. Most of it is running. It's very cheap jump scares, similar to PT. I just hate jump scares. They're so shit. They're not interesting. Mm-hmm. They're not scary. They're just, and then you know what I mean? It's just... And this is a
spring-loaded
game,
cat.
And this is a game where, you know, you grab it at something with a rear remote, you have to pull it towards you slowly, and because you're the game knows that you're focusing on it, so then it throws something in your face, you know what I mean? So it's
full up in your face.
Bet you didn't expect that.
And I hate that stuff, because it's just such shit cheap horror.
I guess it seems kind of lazy as far as horror goes.
And this is why I don't like PT, like the PlayStation 4 game, but that's not actually, wait, it's not related to this, but we'll move on. I'm like, there's a grudge.
I mean, it's not proper horror.
It isn't. No, I mean, I don't think it is either. It just feels like a haunted house kind of thing where you walk through, shit jumps in. Yeah, and you're like, and then you just you walk out and you forget about it.
And you feel slightly pissed off as well, like, oh, you made me look like an idiot. You twit.
Like, you get irritated, not scared.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, this is an inconvenient scare, not a, you know, like,
it's not something that I'm going to have trouble sleeping over that night.
Exactly, whereas with games like Project Zero, Silent Hill, the originals.
Eternal Darkness
to a lesser extent for me, but maybe for you. Resident Evil Remake, like all those games, like even when you turn the game off, you still kind of think about it. Especially if I'm playing it, I turn it off, I go straight to bed. I'm like, oh fuck, like I'm just thinking about it, you know, going through it all in my head. But this is one of those games where...
keeping a look at the door, where listening for weird creaky sounds that you never noticed before, but suddenly they're everywhere.
Yeah, it's like, during this game, I'm kind of a little bit tense, and I kind of get a little bit scared when things jump at me. But that's it. It's not intelligent. It's just really by the numbers. I do like how this story is very technological, do you know what I mean? Like, it's all about people entering chat rooms, you know, meeting up, and it's all about cell phones and shit. You can dial certain numbers to solve puzzles.
Oh, this sounds like such a 2005 game.
Yeah, it is. It's very...
Dude, you guys need to play...
Can't wait to check your MySpace page.
You should check out Shin Megami Tensei Soul Hackers, because that is just like, you know, that was from 95 and they were already doing like stuff like that.
Yeah, so it is, it's like, I would still, if you could find it super cheap, I would give it a go, because the story's kind of interesting, but they're all, these Japanese stories, they're all written based on, you know, one folklore tale, do you know what I mean? Like, the vengeful ghost who was wronged in their real life, so now they're hanging around or whatever. So if you've seen The Ring or The Grudge, you really know what to expect. But I want to play The Grudge game next, even though it's meant to be just as shit as this one, but I want to give it a go. But yeah. That's what I've been playing.
Cool.
Well, so Steven, tell us about Rogue Legacy.
I've been playing so much Rogue Legacy.
I don't know what are you playing on?
I'm glad that you don't know, because I will try and explain it. How do I even start? It's
a roguelike platformer.
Kind of, yeah. It's essentially you walk into a castle, you have... You start off, you have two or three different choices of hero to use, and they all have their own different traits. So some of them might be giant, some might be scared of chickens, some of them might be OCD, so whenever they break stuff, they get health back because they feel better about everything being broken. It's really, really cool, and they all have a mix of traits that'll, you know, some of them will be, like, some will only be able to see in black and white or have a... like a brown tint over everything because nostalgia. They're super nostalgic. They're basically Flame Condor.
Oi! Ruby glasses.
And,
James, have you played Infinity Blade on iPhone? It's a bit of that principle as well, because each new character you're playing is a new generation of the same. I mean, because you have your character, he'll die, but then you get to play three of his children who will have access to... abilities he's gotten or items.
Yeah, it does differ a little bit from a roguelike in that you don't start entirely from scratch when you die. So when you go into the castle, you're going around, you kill enemies, you try and find bosses, you find treasure, and you do whatever you do. And then when you die, all the gold that you've accumulated in that run, you can then spend in your next generation to either level up various attributes or buy new weapons, buy new like passive skills and things like that. And so with the next time you go in, you'll be a little bit better. You'll have gotten better skill-wise. That's something I really noticed. I actually got better at playing the game. It wasn't just based on getting new levels that I actually got more success.
I think that's what a good roguelike is. It's like, you know, you play FTL, and even though, I mean, you might unlock better ships to use in next runs, you're still learning a lot about how the game works. And
you really have to know how it all works, because every time you start a new generation, the castle is completely different. So it has the castle's randomly generated. All the Like, there's four different zones, and they're all generally in the same direction from where you start, but how you get there and all the actual layout of all the areas is completely different every time. And also, whenever you go into the castle, you have to pay a toll to the... I don't know, remember what they call it. Basically, Grim Reaper. Yeah, Charon. A guy. And basically, he takes most of your money, so you're encouraged to spend everything you've got in your last run.
At first, he takes all of it, but then you can get upgrades, which will...
can reduce the amount that he takes. But yeah, it still sort of encourages you, you know, you don't save up for things. You spend everything you have and just hope you do better next time and get more cash. But yeah, really, you just keep playing, you keep going and going, and there's... I haven't finished it. There are four bosses and then a main boss. I've beaten two of the bosses, and yeah, that's where I'm at the moment.
That second boss was so easy. I mean, I had a lot of trouble with
which was your second, because they can be done in any order.
Well, I had the eyeball first, and I had a lot of trouble taking him down. And then the second one, I did the forest. Is it the forest?
Forest, yep.
Yeah, and I found him quite easy, just because his attacks were a lot easier to avoid, and plus a larger area to run around in and dodge his attacks.
And yeah, no, it's something that I find myself getting completely lost in for hours on end. Like, I've had to tell myself I'm not allowing myself to play it after 11 p.m. because every single time that I do without fail, I stop playing and look at the clock and it's 4 a.m. and I can't do that. I shouldn't do that.
What system are you playing on?
I've been playing it between Vita and PS4, and the cross save works really, really well.
It's perfect for the Vita. It is. I mean, it is a handheld game. It is like,
playing it a little bit more on the PS4 just for the bigger screen and the more comfortable D-pad, but it is fantastic on the Vita at the same time. Hey, I still have a Vita, so I'm a fan of handheld.
Well, I'm going off the guy who just bought a backlit.
You're not sorry,
GBA.
James.
Did you trade your Vita in?
I've got to be honest, I rarely play handhelds. Like, I play them if I'm playing them, I play them at home. So if a game is available on both, I'll pick the home console one.
Yeah, I started off Rogue Legacy on the Vita, and I was thinking, yeah, it's going to be perfect for this. But then I thought, I'll try out cross-save, see how well it works. And I just found the PS4 controller much more comfortable for, you know, these inevitable five-hour sessions that I just never stop playing this game.
Yeah, but
and then I go to bed and play it on my Vita.
Even then, I find it easy just to lay on the couch. Because, I mean, the problem I have with console gaming is I find it takes a lot of it. I mean, I'm very ADD, and I like to try and be doing several things at once. So I'm playing the 3DS, and then I can be sort of watching a show or just doing something else in the meantime.
I do that a lot of the time when I'm playing portable games, but I actually found myself I do a similar thing with Dark Souls or anything where I don't really have to pay attention to a story as such, or where I'm basically doing the same thing over and over again, hitting a head against a wall. But yeah, I'll just listen to a podcast at the same time if I'm playing it on a console, and yeah.
I played this on Steam when it first came out, and I really maybe not when it first came out, but pretty close to it. Maybe picked it up in a sale or something, and I really enjoyed it. And then I heard, it's coming on Vita. Okay, stopping playing now. I'm gonna wait.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm really, really enjoying it more on the Vita PS4 combo than I did on PC. It makes no sense. I guess the controller, the PS4 is far better than the 360 where the D-pad is, but...
Oh, I got a Razer controller thing for PC.
I can't speak highly enough of it. It's one of my favourite games for a long time.
I just wanted the music is just this really addictive, like when you first go into the castle and it's got this sort of really happy, upbeat theme, but it just makes you just want to go exploring.
It doesn't grate on you either when you're listening to it over and over again. And when
the way
it does
the character
start to grate, then
runs forward
to
with
else.
His sword bravely in his hand.
Or her hand.
Yeah, her hand.
There's so much to love about this game.
Because it adds nothing to the game, but it's just nice they've got in there. One of the traits they've got is gay, and then it says, like, your character is a fan of the man, and I'm like,
fan of the man.
I love that. It's just so adorable and endearing. But then it's got ones like where he just sort of, when he's got irritable bowel syndrome when he jumps.
They jump, it makes a fart sound.
I always avoid picking that character.
I love that. I just get like a triple jump.
Stupid. Does it give you a triple jump ability?
Oh no, but if I have with those passive upgrades, you can stack multiple jump runes and get a triple jump, and yeah, he farts every time. It's fantastic.
It's a very addictive little game.
There's probably not much more I can say. I'd love it to bits. That's my 10 minutes.
I'd probably give it a go on PS4.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to come to PS Plus at some point, so
well,
I'm sure
yeah.
you'll be able to give it a try sometime.
And, I mean, it's also, it's what's the word for it? It's cross-buy?
Yeah, cross-buy, so you buy it once, you get it on PS3, PS4, and Vita.
And everything.
So, yeah, and now, Daniel, tell us about Rise of the Darkspawn.
Okay, so, I mean, I've been on a huge, turn-based strategy kick as of late. I mean, I finished off that Ghost Recon game earlier this year, just after Codename Steam got announced. And so I've I really like turn-based strategies again. I have to keep getting into them. Also,
better burn myself out on the genre.
Yeah, well, I mean, I played Shining Force on the 3DS, finished that. Also helping is that I damaged a tendon in my hand, so I can't really play any action-based games without crippling pains in my hand. So it's good finding really games that I can just play using my fingers and my thing. Anyway, I'd had my eye on this for a while. I heard WayForward was working on it, and we all know WayForward can be a bit hit and miss sometimes, but I usually prefer to give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, even their licensed stuff like 4 or 4 for DS and, or what was that? Aliens was really good. I'm rambling.
They are a style over substance company, in my opinion.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I mean, then I heard that this was a turn-based strategy, and I'm like, ooh, okay. Transformers turn-based strategy. And anyway, so yeah, this, it came out a few months ago, and I've only just now gotten a chance to playing it. It's not a bad sort of, yeah, it's a very WayForward game. Like, the first thing I sort of noticed when I played it is it doesn't feel like a Transformers game. It just sort of feels like WayForward had a turn-based strategy game there, and they thought, oh, we've got a Transformers game to do. Let's just chuck this license on it and make the storyline sort of all work around it.
Are there any interesting sort of mechanics that differentiate it from other turn-based strategies, like just transforming coming into it or something?
Well, see, this transforming only really comes into it in that if your character wants to move an extra 2 squares, they will transform. They've got their move radius, and then if you move within your normal radius, you can do actions like attack or range attack, or some guys can hack... can hack buildings, which will be like defensive turrets or stuff like that, or repair, you know, just various little actions. But then if you want to go further, they'll transform, but then they can't take any action. And that's about the extent of transforming.
It does sound like it's just, as you say, already an existing game, and they just kind of chuck Transformers on it to sell it.
It helps that the existing game isn't that bad. It's a fun, serviceable game. Seriously, just think Advanced Wars or Fire Emblem, but with Transformers. Like, you've got your grid, you move your characters around to wherever you want to sort of go. If there's a character next to it, okay, cool, you can attack. When you actually start attacking, things get a bit different, because then it sort of goes into like this 3-round turn-based combat thing.
Okay.
Now the attacks, I mean, like, when you start the game, you'll just have 4 sort of basic moves you can do. Like, you have your normal sort of base level attack, and then you'll have a block, and then 2 other moves. Each move sort of generates points as the turns go on. So, like, you'll have very beginning of the game, you'll have your character will have single fire, which will be your basic attack, heavy punch, which will be like, you'll need to sort of charge up 2 turns to do that, or then like a heavy lunge or something, which will require you to block 3 turns. And any of the points that you haven't used will be saved up for the next time you get into combat. So it's sort of, I mean, usually I found in the early game I was just blocking a lot and then just attacking to instant KO whichever character I was fighting. And then the further you go onto the game, the more sort of like you'll unlock like a maximum of 8 different moves for each Transformer. I think there's like a, you know, some enemies are more resistant to some attacks than others.
Oh, yeah.
But like, some of the attacks will have like a red flashing thing next to it when you go into battle, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. You haven't told
me.
Are
there like different objectives to different levels, or is it mostly just kill all the things that aren't you on the level?
Mostly, but other ones, I mean, like, there's some, like, we've got to stop all the Decepticons coming across here for 10 levels, so just try and defend yourself. And then there's also little sub-objectives, like, you'll get, like, if you collect, like, some levels would be make sure no one gets lower than 25% health, capture all the buildings, and get all the items, or make sure one character kills five other characters, or just little stuff like that. So I mean, you know, it's again, if I think if it wasn't a Transformers game, I wouldn't. I don't know. You know, it's a way forward game. It is. It's above average, but you can sort of see hints of you could have done so much more of this if you just had have pushed yourself. But I think
it kind of sounds like a game that if you're starved, absolutely desperate for a turn-based strategy game, and you've already beaten Fire Emblem and all the good ones, then this one might be worthwhile. But otherwise,
you know,
probably
what?
Don't bother.
Out of all the 3DS turn-based strat games, it is the worst. But that's not saying much because they're actually really good. And you know, it's actually a really good looking game. Like the 3D mod, like when you go, like Overworld's just sort of like 2D waveboard sprite based stuff. Whereas when you actually get into the battle, it's these really gorgeous looking sort of 3D polygons. They don't do much. They just sort of stand there. And then when you do your attack, an animation will play. Also when you do your attack, there's like a timed, button press element to it. So if you're using a rapid fire thing, you need to just keep pressing the button a lot, to score extra hits and stuff. There's a bit of voice acting in it. Which isn't bad. I mean, it's always cool to hear Peter Cullen, Optimus Prime. I mean, you know, he'll get into a battle and then he'll go, "One shall stand and one shall fall." And as someone who watched the original animated movie so many times growing up as a kid, I still squeal when I hear him say that. The music's basically ripped from the High Moon Studio Transformer games.
Oh, yeah.
The storyline, James, you played the Wii U one, right?
Yes.
So the storyline's basically, it starts on Earth and then they're trying to chase after the Dark Spark and...
But it basically merges two storylines, like the movie timeline and the game timeline.
Yeah.
And then it kind of teases that it's pulling in another one at the end, the like a retro one. It's really bizarre. Cause... I don't know why they did it. I would hate that if I cared.
I mean, the game started, you're on Earth with the Bayformers. And then it's like, cool, okay, then it's about four or five levels of that. And then it's onto Cybertron. And I'm basically up to level 23 now, and I haven't been back to the Bayformers. I'm like, have we forgotten about those deliberately? Because that's cool.
Yes.
I'm down with forgetting about them.
I think most people are.
I mean, you know, if you see it somewhere for $30 or whatever, I'd definitely, you know, check it out. I mean, out of all the Transformers games that we've had on the Nintendo system, it's probably the best. I don't know if that's saying much, really, in the grand history of Transformers games on Nintendo systems. But, I mean, you know what? I mean, even if my hand wasn't buggered at the moment, I'd probably still be playing it. Because it is, I am having a lot of fun with it. And it is scratching that itch that I've got for these style games at the moment.
Okay.
Difficulty wise, you know, I'm not losing a lot, so, but I'm playing on normal, which is the hardest mode apparently. So yeah.
Cool.
I like it.
It's good. Okay.
Sounds all right.
So that wraps up our team picks. We'll go to a quick break and then we'll wrap up the podcast. Back. So, on the site, I'm not sure if we covered these before, but we'll cover them again just in case. Squid's Odyssey, the review is now up and ready. Lego Ninjago Ninjroids for 3DS, the review is also now up. Spoiler alert, it's just like every other Lego game. SteamWorld Dig for Wii U, the review is also now up. And we have two feature pieces. The first one is one that I wrote about Majora's Mask.
I really enjoyed reading that.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you read it.
I don't usually read stuff on it.
Basically, I go through, you know, the history, I guess, of all the teasers that Nintendo have made about Majora's Mask, and then I, you know, offer suggestions of why a sequel would be a better idea than a remake, and why it's still doable. I really am proud of my idea that I came up with at the end of that, about, like, the evil stepmother, but we'll see what happens. Nintendo should read that. I will waive all rights if they put my story in the game. That's okay. On top of that, there's also a feature piece by Vuk that I didn't even know was going up, but apparently it's up. About stuff that Nintendo have, I guess, promised and then not come through with. He talks about the quality of life stuff, devilish brain training, what else? I can't remember off the top of my head.
The heart rate monitor, yeah, whatever that was called.
Was that mentioned in it?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, there's lots of little things that Nintendo have said, oh, it's going to be great, and then they just kind of like hope that everyone's forgotten about it.
Flipnote Studio 3D.
I think they also talked about how they weren't going to let people, the Wii U have it such a drought as well. But no.
Yeah.
Still happened.
Good work, but, Nintendo. Yeah.
So that's it from the site. Still quite quiet, you know, because there's just nothing coming out for Nintendo stuff. But yeah. On Wednesday the 14th of September, that will be our next episode. It's a VCR, and it's tape number 7. And it's No More Heroes for Wii. So, I mean, we could, if you want to play it on PS3, you can, but we'll be in Japanese. But yeah, so we will be covering that game. I don't think we'll do the second one, but it'll just be the first one. So, I guess that's got a lot more problems with it too, so it'll be more easy to talk about.
Because
yeah,
we only can talk about games which are rubbish.
No, that's not true.
Nas talking about problem. Nas talking about games with more than just praise.
Controversial games are more easy to talk about, is what I meant by that.
Yeah, I know.
We're not just old grumps.
On the Wednesday, the 24th of September, which will be the next podcast, that will be a traditional episode, and we'll cover the news again, as we have this time, but because we'll have some new releases, finally, we'll be talking about Hyrule Warriors and Theatrhythm Final Fantasy Curtain. So it's the second game, the follow-up, I guess, to the first one. So yeah, as always, you know, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, we're using all of them now, more active than we were before. Leave a review on iTunes. As I've said, even if you leave a good review, it helps us get found. But if you leave a bad one, let us know how we can get better so we can, you know, do better. And obviously, if you've got any other thoughts, comments, whatever, comment on any of the Facebook posts about the Vookcast or even the website posts about the Vookcast, because I do read a lot of it, whatever does come through. So it's good to take it on board.
We care.
Yep. So yeah, that's it for another fortnight. Hopefully we will see you next fortnight for the No More Heroes VCR. And yeah, we will speak to you soon. We'll see you soon. Oh no, we'll listen. We will
make you listen to us soon. Yes. Again.
See ya.
Bye.